Coming in October, we're going to have Pastor John Flores. Like the first weekend in October from the Denton area, from the Dallas area of Texas. He's going to be preaching, come with his family. It's going to be a great time. We'll give you details as that gets closer. Amen. I want to share with you, turn to in your Bibles to James chapter 4, verse 8. James chapter 4, verse 8. I want to share something that God put on my heart, and I've just been, sometimes you ever read a scripture, and it's like God's trying to tell you something out of that scripture, and then if you're like me, I go back and I read it again. Then I go back later and I read it again. I keep reading. I think, God, how many want to get what God's telling you? And it's like over a period of time, God begins to unlock something maybe that you've never seen in that scripture before. So James chapter 4 was like that for me this past week. And it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Let's pray. Father, we need you today. Jesus, speak to our hearts this truth. Make it real, God. Lord, not just as something we get in our heads today, but something that we begin to live as we walk out of this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, as I read that scripture, as soon as I read it, something in me cries out, God, I want to be near you. Do you sense that? When he says, draw near to God, there's something in me that says, God, I want to be near you. I want to be one of those people that draws near, and I want you to be near to me. And so, I begin to realize something, especially yesterday, as we went on outreach and we were talking to all kinds of different people. The very first guy that I went up to and talked to, he was so open, and immediately there was a response in him. I started talking about Jesus and that he's real, and I quoted this scripture, and you could just sense he was like me. In his heart, he's like, I want that. I went to the next door, and I knocked on this lady's door, and she was the same way. She teared up. She teared up, and then I teared up. And I began. It was like God was speaking something to our hearts. But as I went through that neighborhood, I knocked on all different kinds of doors, talked to several young kids, 13, 14 years old. And you know, it's amazing how God can touch a young person. And they're not jaded. They haven't rejected God. And there was just such an openness in those kids' spirit. And then, a little bit later, I knocked on a door. And when the person answered the door, I think it was a guy, but I'm not absolutely certain. If he was a guy, he was dressed up like a girl. And so I could just tell instantly there was turmoil in this place. There was confusion in this place. So I just began to share with this guy, and I began to tell him what Jesus did in my life. I began to share how God loved him. And then there was the boyfriend or the girlfriend or whatever they were in the background. And as I'm talking to this person, that person in the background begins to get triggered. You know, God triggers some people. And I'm sitting there, and I'm telling this guy about the plan of God for his life. And all of a sudden, the person in the background shouts out, you know, because I'm talking about how Jesus loves me. He says, yeah, Jesus whipped people out of the temple. I don't know this guy. This person won't come up and have a conversation, but they're triggered in the background, and they're shouting at me. Number one, Jesus, the Bible never says he whipped anybody. It says he drove the animals, the sheep and the cows, out of the temple. We sometimes read that and we think, well, he was just lashing people. That's not what it says. If you go back and read about it, you can follow it up and see if I'm telling the truth. But do you know that the presence of God is real, and it triggers people? And so sometimes when you talk to people, you think, well, why didn't they respond right? Did I not witness right? No, you witnessed exactly right. It's that the presence of God, it triggers people. It brings either makes people respond to God or it pushes them the other direction. And so as you go through the Bible, and how many can think of some people that Jesus triggered with his presence? He upset some people. In Matthew chapter 12, it says, then Jesus went over to their synagogue. He goes to church where he noticed a man with a deformed hand. And the Pharisees asked Jesus, does the law permit a person to work by healing on the Sabbath? They were hoping that he would say yes, and so that they could bring charges against him. And he answered, if you had a sheep and it fell into a well on the Sabbath, wouldn't you work to pull it out? Of course you would. And how much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Yes, the law permits a person to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to them, he said to the man, hold out your hand. And so the man held out his hand, and it was restored, just as the other one. Amazing miracle. Then the Pharisees called a meeting to plot how they would kill Jesus. Wow. They were triggered, weren't they? They were triggered. Because I'm going to tell you right now that you can't heal a hand without the presence of God. You can't make somebody whole without the presence of God. And you know what? Religion has no presence of God. You can't, it's there. People are fine with religion. I can go and knock on doors all day, and I can talk about church, and I can talk about this. I can talk about religion. But when you talk, when the presence of God comes, people get triggered. Some people get triggered towards God, and some people start mumbling under their breath. And some people, like these Pharisees, they want to kill. Isn't that amazing? The presence of God made one man whole and healthy, and it made another one want to kill Jesus. Amazing. Because the presence of God is powerful. We don't just need church, we need the presence of God. If people come into church and they get triggered by the presence of God, glory, hallelujah. Amen? I hope they get triggered towards God. But I want something to happen. I'd rather have people rise up and manifest than have nothing happen. Because if the presence of God there, God's doing something. So consider these. There's other places in the Bible. One we call in Mark 7, verse 26, we call this lady the Syrophoenician woman. And watch this. So she comes. She's got a little girl that is demon-possessed. And so Jesus, she comes. She asks. She wants Jesus to heal her child. And Jesus says some pretty strong words to this woman. In fact, these words, a lot of people would have got triggered. And they would have said, I'm never going back to that church. I'm never going around that Jesus guy. He says, since she was a Gentile, Mark 7:26, born in Syrophoenicia, Jesus told her, first, I should feed the children, my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and to throw it to the dogs. Wow. If somebody had a right to be triggered, there it is. And she replied. Oh, watch her response. She was not triggered. She replied, that's true, Lord. But even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat the scraps from the children's plates. Isn't that amazing? The presence of God, the power of God. This woman, she turns towards God even when he's basically given her a confrontational answer. Even when she's rebuffed. How many want to be like that lady? You know, pride will drive you away from God, but humility will get you a miracle. And I'll tell you something else. Humility and a thankful heart are cousins. So this woman, she is turned, the presence of God is there. She is turned to her. There's another one in Luke 7:36. It says, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home, and he sat down to eat. And when a certain immoral woman, some of the other books point out that this woman was the sister of, you know, remember Mary and Martha and Lazarus. This was Mary. A certain immoral woman from the city heard that he was eating there. And she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. And then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. And then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. Even though she was notoriously, when she got around the presence of God, something broke in this woman. Nobody told her, go do that. See, it's kind of telltale. What's in your heart when you get around the presence? Jesus is in that house. When she got around Jesus, she began to cry. She began to weep. She took something that was very valuable and poured it out. Well, the Pharisees sat there, and they criticized him. And they said, doesn't he know what kind of woman this is? Yeah, he knew. The trouble is, they were triggered because the presence of God came. They didn't have a right kind of heart. So I want to challenge you in something today, in this going back to our scripture, to draw near to God. To draw near to God. When you get in the presence of God, I'm going to show you five things. And I believe as I give these things, if you got a right heart, you're going to go out of here wanting to draw near to God. You're going to go out of here this week, and you're going to say, God, I need to draw near to you. The first thing is this. There's a promise here that God, when you make the effort, when you show the desire to draw close to God, he promises that he will draw near to you. It's not a maybe. It's not a might. When you make that decision and you simply say, Jesus, I choose to draw near you today. I'm learning. Hardly a day goes by before I ever get out of bed. When I open my eyes, I say, God, I'm drawing near to you. Please draw near to me before I even put my feet on the floor. You say, well, why do you do that? Because he promises that if I'll do that, he'll respond. You know what? Some people are so afraid. Well, you know, maybe God will reject me. That's a lie. He promises you something. You know, a few weeks back when Robin's sister got really sick and she had cancer and been fighting cancer, and all of a sudden it got bad really quick. And so we got a call from the hospital, and basically they said, it's progressing very fast. And if you want to see her when she's able to talk and able to recognize you, you probably ought to come right away. And so Rob and I were talking, and I told her, I said, so we checked, and we weren't part of the listed family members to talk to her. And I said, here's the problem. If we drive all the way to Grand Junction and we're not on the family list, we may get there and not be able to see her, that they won't let us in to see her. So we called the hospital, and we asked them that question. We said, listen, this is her sister. I know she's not on the list. It happened very quickly. Her husband wasn't even up there yet. And so we asked them. I said, you know, if we drive up there, can we see her? And that, so they did some adjustments. They got our name put on a list. Did you know you don't have to worry about that with God? How many know you're on his list? If you draw near to God, he's not going to say, well, you're not from my church. You're not a part of, you know, you're not this. No, he's got a promise today, church. You can draw near to him this week. Now, unfortunately, many people will not avail themselves of that. They'll go through life, because I'm going to tell you that when you get in the presence of God, it can be a little bit unsettling at times. Oh my goodness, have you ever been when the conviction of the Holy Ghost falls in a place? And God's presence comes. It can be unsettling. Conviction can come. But here's his promise. One of the things that will definitely happen when you decide to draw near to God, he says instantly he will begin to draw near to you. Revelation says he stands at the door and knocks. He's knocking. How many times do people settle for dry, dead religion when all it takes is a desire to say, God, I need to be near you today. Today, right now, before you go to bed tonight, you can sit there in the very presence I'm telling you, in heaven, they're casting their crowns down in the presence of the Lord. You say, well, that's when we get to heaven. No, that's now. He's talking to us. He says, if you'll draw near, I'm going to draw near to you. So many times in my life, I've gotten to a place where I got kind of dry. You ever get kind of dry? I got kind of distracted with life. And I just reach his place. And I say, oh God, please be near me. Draw near me. Hebrews 11:6 says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When he saw Mary pouring that stuff out, he said, I'm going to touch you, dear. I'm going to help you. He says he's a rewarder. How many get that today? See, the devil says, if you call out to God, he's going to ignore you. No, he's not, because he says he'll draw near to you. He says, if you spend time in prayer, God, it's nothing's going to, yes, something's going to happen, because he's going to draw near you. If you go to church, you know what we want? No, it does matter, because when we come into church, can I tell you the purpose of our worship is that we could draw near to God? All the saints and angels, they bow before his throne. You are worthy of it all. How many know we're entering into something? Now, sometimes people can come in and they just sing the words. They have no desire of heart. You know, when we worship God in this place, every one of us, we need to touch God. We need his presence. So when you come, you say, how do you do that? You want it. You want it. No matter what it costs, you want it. You get those hands up because you want it. You sing because you want to touch God. And he says, I'll draw near to you. Psalms 34. Verse 4 says, I sought the Lord, and he ignored me. Is that what it says? He says, I sought the Lord. David said, I sought him. I needed him. You get to the place where you say, God, I just need you right now. I'm struggling. I'm going through this place. I'm in this dry spot. I'm in this place of fear, this place of attack, this place of doubt. He said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me. And he delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him, and they were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him. And he saved him out of all of his troubles. And the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Watch, he goes on in verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Does not that sound like a wonderful promise? That if you'll seek God, he'll seek you. He'll seek you back. You may think nobody sees me. God says, I see you. You may say, nobody hears me. God says, I hear you. I hear the cry of your heart. That's the first promise. If you seek God, I'm telling you, God has a rock solid promise. He's going to seek you back. The second thing, when you draw near to God, is sin loses its attraction and its power over you. Sometimes we make a mistake, church, and we you ever gotten a battle with sin? A battle, and you're dealing with something? It might have been a bitterness in your heart. It might have been lustful thoughts. It might have been your tongue. It might have been something that you have done, and you get in this battle, and you're so focused on defeating the sin. Did you know that when you get in God's presence, sin automatically loses its attraction. It loses its attraction, and it loses its power over you. Go through the Bible, and you will see that in the presence of the Lord, sin loses its power over you. This is why church services are important. Again, you might come in, you might be battling, the devil's saying, I've got you. Get in the presence of God, and we'll see how that goes. Get in the presence of God and see the power of sin fall and break. 2 Corinthians 3, 16 says, but whenever someone turns to the Lord or draws near, okay? Whenever someone, how many want to be the someone? Whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom. You come in. You're battling. You might be fighting drugs. You might be fighting alcohol. And you might be, and it's got to learn. And how many of you ever just said, you know, I'm struggling because I like this thing. But I'm going to tell you something. You get in the presence of the Lord and that like will begin to go away. That love of sin, that love of whatever it is. And he says here that that the veil is removed. You know, I pray this in my life all the time. Help me to see it like it really is. Do you know what? You need to see sin like it really is. It's never as glamorous as it looks. It's never as good. And you say, how do I see it like it is? Get in the presence of God. And all of a sudden, that sin, the mask comes off of it. And you begin to see it. And you know what will happen? You'll begin to hate it. And when you hate something, you don't want to go around it anymore. When you hate something, you want to get away from it. And so the veil is removed, he says. And he says, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Let me ask you something. If you begin to look like Jesus, if you begin to reflect his glory, is there sin in that? No way. Is Jesus, does he reflect sin? No, he does not. He reflects purity and righteousness. So when you get in God's presence, you begin to glow with purity. Moses came down off that mountain. It's an amazing thing. And he had been in the presence of God. And the Bible says literally they couldn't look at him because his face was glowing. Isn't that amazing? God didn't just hammer him. He just got in the presence of God, and the rest God took care of. See, in God's presence, sin loses its lure and its power. So how do I get free from sin? Spend a lot of time in God's presence. Every day, make sure that you have a real time with Jesus. Clean desire is birthed in the presence of God. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, and when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. That letter of the law that keeps you bound. And he says, and we're free of it. All of us, nothing between us and God. Our face is shining with the brightness of his face. And we are transformed like the Messiah. Our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. How many want to become brighter and more beautiful? It doesn't take Mary Kay. Amen? You become brighter and more beautiful in the presence of God. You become brighter and more beautiful. But I'm telling you, in dead, dry religion and Phariseeism, you become dark and unpleasant. You become ugly. You become spiritually ugly. Can I tell you something? The Pharisees were a spiritually ugly people. Everybody that they got around, there was just something bitter and dried up. But people that got in the presence of God, you read about Mary, and as she's, I'm telling you, there was something happening in that woman. Something beautiful. We've seen that song, Something Beautiful, Something Good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful. You know how that happens? You get in the presence of God. The most beautiful people are the people that spend time with Jesus in his presence. Doesn't matter if you're old. It doesn't matter if you're young. Doesn't matter if you got wrinkles or gray hair. You're beautiful in the presence of God. So, how about you? You want that lure to break away? You want to be free of that? See, David, after he had failed so terribly, Psalms 51, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me, where? From your presence. Do not banish me from your presence. Why did David pray, God, I need to be in your presence? Because he knew that only in the presence of the Lord could all that darkness that he had entered into could be washed away. You know how you get free from darkness and the darkness that sin brings? You get in the presence of God. And then God does something. He says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. The Bible says in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. So he's talking again about being in God's presence. And all of that begins to fall away. I want that in my life. 2 Corinthians 3:17 in the Message says, and when God is personally present, a living spirit, again, that old constricting legislation is recognized and becomes obsolete. You know, another example of this is, you know, religion tries to straighten you out. It tries to fix you up. It tries to give you a set of laws that'll make you right. Can I tell you, a set of laws can never make you right, can never clean you up. And if you consider this, here's Zacchaeus. How many remember Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus is in that tree, and Jesus comes by. Okay, now, at this point, because Jesus has not gone to heaven, we don't have the Holy Spirit yet. All we have is Jesus, right? So Jesus comes by. Zacchaeus is a little guy. He's up in that tree. And he said, I need to see him. He said, I need to get near this man. And Jesus walks by. And for the first time in Zacchaeus' life, he gets near Jesus. The physical presence, I believe there's something powerful. At that point, that's what all you could do, get near Jesus. The woman with the issue, she said, if I get near Jesus, if I touch him, I'll get healed. Zacchaeus says, I need to be near him. So he climbs up in that tree. And Jesus gets right under that tree. He looks up. And he sees Zacchaeus. And the most amazing thing happens. Zacchaeus instantly wants to get some things right. Instantly, he's a thief. He's stolen from people. He's done dishonesty. You could try to preach that out of him until the cows come home. And all of a sudden, Zacchaeus comes out of that tree. And instantly he says, Lord, if I've taken anything, I'll give it back 4 times. Wow, that's a miracle, isn't it? He wanted to get rid of his sin. You know, when you get in the presence of God, all of a sudden the money doesn't mean nothing no more. The sin doesn't mean nothing anymore. Instantly he tells him, he says, whatever I've taken, I'll give back 4 times what I've stolen. Isn't that amazing? Why? He's got in the presence of Jesus. One of the best things we can do with people to help them get free from sin, get them in the presence of God. Third thing is this. When you get in God's presence, anxiety fades away. See, today we have lots of pressure in our lives, don't we? There's probably not a person here that hasn't faced some pretty good pressures this week. Financial pressures, health issues, relational conflicts. And because of our society and because everything that we are constantly exposed to, do you realize that you are exposed to more than any other generation ever? You see things. If there's something that blows up across the world, 100 years ago, they never would have known about it for 6 months, and there would be very limited details. Did you know that we live with a lot of anxiety? A lot of anxiety. See, how do I deal with anxiety? It's not Prozac. Amen. It's not this, it's not that. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Something happens in the presence of God as anxiety dissipates. The pressure fades away. You might be troubled, and you can sit there, and you can stare at the problem, and you can argue about the issue, and you can analyze, but I'm telling you, the best thing when you've got anxiety is get in the presence of God. Get in the presence of God. Psalms 23, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. How many need some comfort today? Get with him. Get with him. You say, how do? You just tell Jesus, Lord, I need your presence right now. Get away. Get on your knees. Begin to worship God. You're struggling. You're analyzing. You can look at the problem. And the longer you look at the problem, the bigger the problem will get, the greater the anxiety. In Mark chapter 4, it says, that day when evening came, he said, let us go over to the other side. And so leaving the crowd behind, they took him along. They took him along just as he was in the boat. And there was also other boats with them. And a furious squall came up. And the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke him up and they said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? And he got up and he rebuked the wind and he said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And they were terrified and they asked each other, who is this? Now, they were amazed because there was anxiety. How many know if the boat's going down, there's anxiety? You know what? I don't see any place where Jesus says, why did you wake me up? I don't see any place where he says, you know what? He didn't do that. He did talk to them about faith because he was right there. You know what they could have done? They could have gone and just sat near Jesus and had the same result, right? I don't believe, first of all, God never sleeps. So he's not going to get upset if you wake him up. Isn't that great? You can wake up at 2 in the morning. You ever try to talk to somebody that's in, I'm always talking to Pastor Jones, and he's, you never know where he's at. He's gone to overseas 5 times already this year. So I have to consider, is he up? Is he asleep? Am I going to, wake him up in the middle of the night? But you know, with God, you don't ever worry about that. His presence will come. So when you've got anxiety, I'm going to tell you the answer is, get with Jesus. Get next to him, and you'll begin to see. You know, kids instinctively understand this. When they're troubled or they're afraid, they instinctively realize, I need to get near mom. I need to get near dad. You know, our kids are, there's a place where they want to get near you, and then there's a place where they want to get away from you. When they hit teenagers, it's like, oh. But, you know, when they're littler, I love this. At this age, Peyton's still that way. So Peyton's fine. She comes. She plays. She jumps. She do this. But every little bit, she wants to know where's mom at or where's Mimi at. If she can't find mom and Mimi, Papa will do. But she wants to know. Do you know that we need to be that way with Jesus? Where's Jesus at? And if she can't find mama or Mimi, she gets upset. She gets in a bit of a panic. You know that's okay. It's okay to get in a bit of a panic if you can't find Jesus. I need to be near Jesus. I need to know that he's with me. I need to know, you know what? When I've got that, there's such a confidence. You know, as we went yesterday on that outreach and we're talking with people, you know what? I had such a confidence because Jesus was right there with me. There was a confidence. I wasn't afraid to talk to anybody. I wasn't worried about their response because Jesus was right there with me. Here's the fourth thing is this, is that when you draw near to God, your love for others will grow. Have you ever tried to make yourself love people? It's like, I love them, but I just hate them so much. You ever tried to love the unlovable? And how many just sometimes people just irritate you? Oh, you guys are so righteous. How many have ever brake checked somebody? Be honest. How many have ever brake checked somebody? There's a few honest people here. And you know what? We're having a hard time loving that person. I was coming out of Walmart the other day. And there was nobody coming on the road inside there. And I pulled out. And then this car just rushes up behind me. He wasn't there. Trust me, I looked. And then he starts to honk. Just lay on the horn. And I'm going to end the story right there. I'm not going to tell you what I did. Anyhow. But you know, God calls us to love people. But you know what? You say, how do I love people? They're such jerks. Sometimes we're the jerk, right? But Sometimes they're the jerk. And Jesus loved the unlovable. How do we love people? You get in the presence of God, and all of a sudden, God will begin to do something in your heart. And in Matthew 14, it says, verse 10, so he, talking about Herod, it says that he got word that his cousin John had been beheaded. And Jesus, I believe, is sad. I believe he's a bit broken over that. And he says to the disciples, he says, let's get away by ourselves. I think that Jesus said, I just need to be alone with the Lord because he helped you deal with your hurt. So they get away and the crowd follows them. And then they're there and the disciples said to Jesus, he said, send these people away. You know what? He said, but the Bible says, and he was moved with compassion for them. And he tells the disciples, you feed them, you take care of them. You know, if you're with Jesus during that, how many know you're gonna start seeing people different? Even in Jesus' time of need. When you get around Jesus, do you ever struggle loving people? How about just people in your own family? Do you ever struggle to love your spouse? Don't raise your hand. I'm not looking. Amen? But let's be honest. You ever struggle to love an aunt, an uncle? You ever struggle to love somebody in the body of Christ? Those are realities. You ever struggle to love somebody that's been rude to you? You've got to get in the presence of God if you're going to love people. Because human capacity doesn't have that capacity. And here's the last thing. When you draw near to God, you'll have an inner strength and you'll get direction. Do you need direction today? Need God's direction? Psalms 32 verse 7 says, you are my hiding place. And you will protect me from trouble, and you will surround me from with songs of deliverance. Selah. Verse 8, I will instruct you, and I will teach you in the way that you should go, and I will counsel you and watch over you. So when you get in the presence of God, he begins to instruct you. Can you use some instruction today? You need clarity. You ever reach a place where you just need clarity? See, God, I just need clarity in this part of my life. I need clarity in this job situation. I need clarity in this financial decision I'm about to make. I am telling you, when you get in the presence of God, clarity will come. Something will begin. You'll go in not knowing, and you'll come out knowing what you ought to do. He says, I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way that you should go. So many times in my life, I've struggled. God, I need to know what to do here. And when I just get in the, if I'll take the time and I'll get in the presence of God, there comes great clarity. Something begins to happen. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything that you do. Everywhere you go, and he's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. When you run to God, clarity begins to come. Direction begins to come. He begins to instruct us. Psalms 119, 104 says, I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp to my feet, and your light and a light to my path. Isaiah 31, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. How many need some clarity today? Some of you right now, you've struggled with things. The devil has battered your mind. The devil has battered your thought processes. You ever heard the phrase, I don't know whether I'm coming or going? The devil does not want you to get in the presence of God, because when you get in the presence of God, that will clear up. When you get in the presence of God and you obey what God says, that will clear up. You will begin to get a clarity. It'll be powerful. See, getting in God's presence, it'll clear up your mental processes. It'll bring physical changes. People get in the presence of God. How many need healing? Get in the presence of God, you'll experience physical healing. You know, Billy Graham, I love, he's a tremendous example in our lifetime. And I recently watched, again, an interview that he did with somebody, I think it was somebody on Fox News, and it was a woman, and she asked him, and she says, if you had to do it all over again, would you do it different? Would you do anything different? And Billy Graham said, yes, I would. I would do some things definitely different. He said, number one, he said, I wouldn't take quite so many meetings. And he said, I would spend more time with Jesus. I never noticed this till this week. He said, I would spend time just telling him how much I love him. Something happens when you just get with Jesus and you say, Lord, I love you. I need you. There's a man that traveled around the world. And his final synopsis of his life, he said, I would just get in God's presence and tell him how much I love him. When was the last time you just got in God's presence? And he said, Lord, I need you. I need you, God. I love you, Jesus. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I want to be like that. How many of us, you know, that this week you could spend some time with Jesus and just tell him how much you love him. So if you draw close to God, number one, he says, I'll draw close to you. If you draw close to God, sin will lose its power and hold in your life. If you draw close to God, anxiety will dissipate. Love will grow. And you'll get guidance and direction. Let's bow our heads today in this place. Draw near to God, and he gives you a promise.